Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, my guest is Diane Hogan. Diane is a shaman spirit mentor specializing in regression energy healing techniques. She helps people on a path of self-discovery. And Diane, can you please add in and tell our audience what else about you that I didn't hit upon right now?
Yes, I do regression energy healing, and it's for addressing recurring themes and also PTSD, specializing in childhood sexual abuse, quite frankly, and trauma. So I fall into that category myself. I've been doing this healing work on myself for many years, and I finally decided to turn it around and start helping others as it's been helping me. I do shamanic practices, so I do clearing work. I help people to identify their lessons learned around these events, because these are sacred contracts that, whether you believe it or not, these are things that we actually sign up for before we incarnate. And so these are things that we put ourselves through that we have to overcome and then learn these lessons so that we can go through an ascension process. So it's really an ascension that we're going through. And we're at a very auspicious time here right now on Earth as we are going through huge shifts and changes. So we're going from a third to a fifth dimension. So I know it's a little out there, but this is the kind of work I do. So I work with spirit guides, archangels, ascended master teachers, and also work with deceased loved ones. A lot of deceased loved ones come through when I do the work with these people, with clients. So, okay. And I also currently am working with, I kind of scaled it up a little bit recently, and I do guided meditation, and also started a four-session solution program to help women to attract in their divine mate and their ideal life. So that's something I'm working with right now, and subscriptions coming in November for a package. And oddly enough, I have been a stockbroker in the past. So I have that very left brain material world that I can tap into. So that might be, you know, integrated into parts of the subscription that I'm going to be offering coming in November.
So I can imagine that piece of you helps people who find your work a little woo-woo. How do you talk with people about when they are struggling with the woo-woo factor?
Well, you know, for one, people actually are guided to come to me. If this is not a comfort zone for the person, they are just simply not going to even, you know, it's kind of a very black and white sort of thing for me. Either you're going to want to find out about this and learn more and realize that you're in this kind of an awakening project, this awakening situation within yourself. Quite frankly, I didn't even wake up until 2006. So this is really pretty new for me. Like I said, I was a stockbroker. I was very mainstream. And suddenly in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, things started changing and I started to awaken to things. But I didn't really start waking up until 2006. So I've been on both sides of the journey. And if you're not into this, then you're simply not even going to want to even listen to this podcast. But if you're interested, there's a lot. It's like another world. It's quite frankly, it's like another world. So That's the only thing I could say about that.
Okay. Well, some people will be curious and some people may have tried traditional therapy or other methods to trying to feel well that haven't worked for them. So that might be another reason why people tap into your services.
And so that's what happened to me as well, because I have done mainstream therapies. I started when I was in my 30s, And I found it was very helpful, but it seemed like a very long journey. And when I started going down this path, I actually had a medical condition that I was finding out about a shaman to do this kind of clearing work on a cyst that I had on my ovary. And it was very unusual. And I thought, well, okay, you know, but as things have it, it just like synchronicity started to happen that day, even when I was talking to this, actually a dance teacher at the time, because I knew I was going to have to stop dancing for a little bit. I'd take ballroom and Latin dancing at the time. And so I realized I was going to be out of commission for maybe 6 weeks to 2 months. And I guess he didn't want that to happen. So he made that suggestion. I was like, I didn't even know I didn't even know what a shaman was. Okay. Just so you know. So, and I was too embarrassed to ask, but that afternoon I got home and on a local paper, The Observer, was the local shaman in my neighborhood who was only 10 minutes away. And that one thing led to another, and I started working with her, and I kept asking for a miracle to happen so that I didn't have to have any surgery. And I got that miracle, and I didn't have to have any surgery, so I got rid of it.
And that's a testimony in and of itself, right?
Exactly. So that to me was like, oh my God, we are really powerful. And we, through the power of our intentions and the law of attraction, we can make things happen. So that was, it just really woke me up. That was my wake up call. And I just realized how much I just loved doing this work. And so I knew it was something deep down inside of me that was awakening. And it was just the beginning of a very unusual path that I never thought I was going to be on, but it was calling to me. And I realized this was part of my journey and something I was supposed to be doing to find out why I'm here to begin with. So, and here I am.
Yeah. So going back to the trauma that happened in your early life, what parts of your trauma do you think would be helpful for our audience to know?
Well, what happened, I had what I thought was isolated incidences. I had a situation when I was 8 years old that happened when I was in watching, I think it was in Radio City Music Hall in New York City when I was eight. And I think the movie was Sound of Music. That part I'm still trying to put together because I kind of blocked out when this situation was happening. But a pervert put his hand under my leg that was sitting next to me, and he was itching his way up to my crotch. And my sister was to my right, and my mother was on the other side of her, and my brother was on the other side of my mother. I leaned over at one point and asked my mother for help. And I said, you know, Mom, this man has his leg under, he's got his hand under my leg. And she said, tell him to move it. And I realized, wow, I'm 8 years old. I mean, so I didn't know what to do. So what I did was I pushed my leg down on his hand, thinking that that would help to, it's like, you know, I was really super shy. So he never moved it, and it was there the whole time. And it wasn't until the very end of the performance that he like bolted out and came all the way around and was gawking at me when I left. And it was the most horrible experience, and one that I, you know, it really resonated with me, like, oh God, you know, it was so gross. But that was the end of it. I never really talked anything more about it. My mother was not there for me when I asked for help. Then my mother had a situation when I was 15 and she got sick and she was out of commission for quite some time. And I ended up having to be the caretaker for my youngest brother and sister, who was at that time just turning 1 and 2 years old. So wow. I'm one of five children. I'm the oldest daughter. I have an older brother. So I had to step up to the plate and become the mom. During that time, my father had made an attempt to cuddle up with me, and he felt me up. And I told him, what are you doing? No. And he left. So I didn't realize that there were all these other memories that were repressed. And it wasn't until I started doing the spiritual path that I went to Native American sweat lodges, and I was doing inner work and clearing work and just identifying all this stuff. It turns out that people around me just knew. They knew that I was going to figure this out one of these days. And but they couldn't tell me. They could tell me all they want, but I would have just been such denial about it that I would have said, "What are you talking about?" So one day, finally, I started doing work on my own, and I started doing some past life regression work on myself, and I was doing it with a non-physical spirit guide. And that's where things get a little shaky. So I was doing mainstream too, because I was going through a divorce at the time. And so I had both mainstream and also working with the shaman, and then eventually worked with Native American people. And the Native Americans are amazing people. They just are incredible with the earth realm and the spirit realm. And so I was able to, I knew I had the isolated incidences with the sexual, molestation. And one of the sweat lodges had to do with women that were sexually abused. So I kind of figured, well, you know, that it was kind of a minor thing, but yeah, technically, you know, I was felt up. So I went, and the woman was trying to actually get me to come. So they just knew that there was stuff that I had buried. So by 2011, I was doing a lot of inner work on myself and still doing the SWAT launches. And eventually I stepped away from the SWAT launches and did some of the work on my own. And at the end of 2011, something happened, and I was doing a lot of meditative work on myself, a lot. And something like almost cracked open inside of me. And it happened right around my solar plexus area. And I felt like I was bleeding out. It was the most bizarre feeling. And I was in kind of a panic because something was awakening inside of me. And it was right around Christmas and New Year's of that year of 2011. And by January 6th of 2012, I had my very first memory of being sexually abused as a three-year-old. And so that year in 2012, I had 22 situations of sexual abuse that all came to the surface. And it was one after the other. And it was one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. And I did it on my own. And I was able to do 16 of them in about a week period of time. In September, I was doing vision quests at that time, which I did on my own. It's just a little 3-day thing where you sit around and don't drink much water and don't eat much food and just get into spirit. And I set a space. So I kind of did something similar to what the Native Americans do for vision quests, but I did it. I call it my 5-star vision quest because I had a bathroom and I wasn't out in the middle of nowhere. So it was a lot more comfortable, and I did a little bit of water, and I do eat a little bit of food, but very, very little. So I was in spirit, and it was all of a sudden, it was like a conga line of my little girls. And I actually, in the beginning, I was sort of in a traumatic experience that I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe there's so many. And then I kind of pulled myself together, and I actually interviewed my young self, and I documented everything that I was able to recall. So I got down to where I was able to remember at 18 months old being sexually abused. And it went all the way up until age of 11, where I had, right before I got my period, I actually got my period on my 11th birthday. It was almost like the rite of passage, like you don't have to get sexually abused anymore, because my father actually completely rejected me when I became a woman, which was good until that 15-year-old situation where he tried again. So that sort of wrapped it all together. That's the reason why I told him, no, why, you know, what are you doing, when I was 15? Because all these other memories were buried, but I couldn't even face them at that time. So that's that's the story. That's what happened.
Yeah. So I get how traumatic that was for you. And but was what happened to get you on the healing part of that? Like, did you go through the stages of grief first? I know those aren't linear. They're up and round and around, but tell us more about your healing path.
Since I had been doing this self-healing path with the non-physical and also, you know, very spiritual, I realized it was 2012 was the most insane year, but it was also a gift in itself because it allowed me to really see what happened to me as a kid. It explained things. It made sense for the reason why I was so shy, because I realized during the time that I was literally recalling and interviewing myself, I was also being told, don't tell anybody, don't say anything, you know how mad your mother gets, blah, blah, blah. And this was happening at a very, very young age. And so when I got to school, I was petrified of even being up in front of a class and speaking. So it just made sense that I was incredibly shy. And that shyness lasted through high school. And I hate to say it, but it was actually, I did smoke a little pot by the time I was 18. I got all the way through high school, didn't do anything. I was goody two shoes the whole time. And it wasn't until I was able to relax enough and just get a little calmed down that I was holding this whole time. And I realized I was in like trauma and anxiety ever since I was a baby practically. So, you know, so that was part of the journey of being able to realize I had to like undo all this. And then I realized this is how I've attracted men into my life and how I've attracted poor choices and relationships. And so it would, so for me, it was like my entire life was unraveling for me to look at it and to be able to say, okay, I don't want to repeat these patterns anymore. I don't want to do this stuff. I don't want to have bad relationships that end up going sour, you know, something that starts off good and ends up becoming an absolute disaster. I grew up with, you know, parents that fought like cats and dogs, and I have some incidences that were unpleasant. You know, it's kind of amazing. Both my parents, strangely enough, are still alive, and they're still married, which is kind of insane. They should have divorced years ago, but they stayed together. So, you know, and even when I spoke to my mother about my memories, unfortunately, she said that you're making it up and that, you know, it's your imagination and so on and so forth. So so she was never really there for me when I needed her the most. And, but I realized she's in a state of denial too. I believe that she may have actually known what was happening, but there was just no way she was going to be able to do anything about it. So she's in a deep denial about it too, you know, and that's just a perception. But she came over from Denmark. She came over from another country, and you know, so she was sort of, she made her bed and she's sleeping in it. And that was kind of what she decided. So I really just have had to do this on my own. So this has been a journey of self-healing, and I've used every possible modality that I can. Reiki, I became a Reiki master. I give Reiki to myself whenever I get in a panic. I have a lot of different tools to use to clear energy, and also ask help from the angels to help me to release stuff that I'm taking on. So it's been a very interesting process of self-healing, self-discovery. I've done Kabbalah work, getting into all that various different parts of the Kabbalistic tree, which is also, that was an amazing process that took 4 years to do. But it's just been all part of the process to learn how to just heal myself. So that's been my main objective. And I realize if I heal, I can help heal my family too. And it does go in, it feeds out in all direction, time, space, even those that are deceased. So I know I'm doing something special, even though it's been very, very difficult and very lonely too. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, So what happened with your relationships with your parents when you started to recall your memories? Did you cut them off? They didn't support you?
I actually, in the beginning, when my mother basically told me, you're making it up and you're lying and, you know, just not believing anything that I was telling her, I kind of didn't expect her to come running to my side because she hadn't been there since the beginning. So, you know, it was not like a big surprise, but I realized I had a stand to make and I needed to stand in my power. And I, you know, my mother immediately said, you need to talk to your father. And I'm like, what are you kidding me? You know? So the situation at age 15, I did address earlier on about 2007. But these memories, I finally did, I think I wrote him a letter. I wrote him a letter and he wrote back and said, you're crazy. You need help. And that was all he said. So I thought to myself, wow, what a projection of his own reality, you know, because he's the crazy one and he needs help and he's never gone for help. My mother did go for a little help at one point, but my father refused to go for any kind of therapy of any kind. So maybe they did a little marriage counseling, but it lasted for about 5 minutes, you know, So I just cut him off. I cut him off for about 4.5 years. And I ended up cutting off my siblings too. I only had one sibling that kind of hung in there with me, even though she didn't believe me. But all that has changed. I've gotten back together with them to heal that hurt and that harm. But then I realized that even coming back with them created a situation where I was being victimized again. And so what happened was whenever my one sister who was there for me suddenly turned on me like, you know, like white on rice. And whenever she had the opportunity of throwing me under the bus in front of the family, like showing them camaraderie, you know, that solidarity kind of thing with the other family, like, oh, Diane, you know, she's woo-woo and she does all these weird things and she's out there and she has absolutely, you know, it's like, this is all a bunch of lies, which it's not, you know, I mean, these are my truths. And unfortunately, I've even seen situations with other siblings, but they don't believe it. And that's their deal. But I realized I'm being thrown under the bus and it happened a couple of times and I was being literally berated with verbiage and thrown under the bus in front of the family. And I just fought back and said, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. So slowly but surely, it's like, I'm just pushing them away again. So, you know, it's like, I have things I have to do. And it's actually inhibited me from getting things done because of the guilt and the shame and the stuff, the connections with this family that don't believe me anyway. So what's the difference now? So now I'm just saying, the heck with it. I'm going to do my thing and I'm going to help those that need help that have been down this similar path, especially those that recall late in life, all these memories that were buried. So it's actually been my mission. It's why I'm here. It's what I'm supposed to do. And I've been trained through shamanic practices, through all these various different methods. I've gone through, I've been very fortunate as being a stockbroker. I did have money that I lived on for a while. So that was like a blessing. That's all gone now. So it's like, it's amazing how I feel like spirit has supported me as I've supported myself to get through this process. But it's been, it's like completely turned my life upside down completely. So I, you know, but I'm standing in my power and I'm not backing down and I'm not changing my tune. And this is who I am. And this is what happened. And I'm here to help anybody that has gone through something similar because it's just, it can absolutely destroy your life in many ways, but as the destruction that happens, it's allowing you to rebuild and reorganize your life in a so much better way and so empowering. But it takes a while to be able to kind of take all that back. So,
You mentioned something pretty key that I find most trauma survivors struggle with, despite the fact that they're not abusing themselves. I call it don't claim the shame because you're not the one that's the abuser. But it's interesting how many survivors end up feeling guilty or shameful. I'm wondering how you work past that.
I had a situation just recently that I had done some work with a woman down here that does transgenerational clearing work on the family history. And I did it with almost all my siblings, my parents, my grandparents, my daughter, my ex-husbands, and so on and so forth. I realized that one of the situations with one of the siblings involved me and that sibling and the abuser, which we all know who it is. And I felt such guilt from that it, and this was only about 3 or 4 months ago. And it took me a couple of weeks to even fully understand and get over the hurt. I ended up actually having to call 211 and try to find somebody to talk to because I was in a panic. I actually got really upset. And I just felt such guilt and shame because then it made sense about why my one sibling treats me the way she does, because she's so damn angry inside. And this is something that she's holding on to. And that's why she's aiming it at me, because we were part of the journey together at some point. And so that part was worse than any other part. And just the having to get over it and forgive, I think, was probably one of the biggest and most challenging of all. But getting past the guilt and the shame, I realized it was an emotion that I had to actually experience. I had to feel it in order to heal it. And that's actually kind of a saying that I have. It's like I realized even as I was being led to through this non-physical spirit guide of mine from back in 2011, I was actually being set up for falls. I know this sounds very bizarre, but I was being set up for these betrayals. And so what was happening was I'm sure I was just doing this on myself, you know, let's just say, you know, spirit guide or not. I was setting myself up to be able to experience what it felt like to be betrayed and to be misled and to be controlled and to be manipulated. And all those feelings were what I felt when I was being, hey, come on in here. I want to show you something. You know, when I was being abused and like a little kid, and then realizing that I'm being set up for a fall and I'm being betrayed and so on and so forth. So these were all feelings that I actually had to feel and to understand and to be able to get over them. So I'm embracing the victim. I'm embracing the shame that I felt. And I'm embracing the guilt and so on. So just to learn from it, to figure it out, because we have to learn in order to understand it and to heal it and get past it so that we can move on with our lives and not be stuck. And believe me, I've been stuck for a while, but I've just made the decision within the last, you know, year or so that I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm wasting my life. I'm just sitting here doing nothing. And being depressed sometimes and going down that ugly rabbit hole, and then realizing it's like, wait a minute, time out. I don't have to do that. This is attitude. I can change my course of my life through my attitude and to change the way I feel about things. So these have been recent. This is something that I've been doing consciously. And realizing it's like, I don't have to feel this bad anymore. I don't have to take on the collective consciousness of or unconsciousness of all the people that have been sexually abused. I don't have to do that. I can just get rid of it. It's not mine anyway. You know, I've got my own stuff that I'm dealing with. So that's kind of what I'm, that's, like I said, I'm, you know, this is what I do. This is my clearing work. So I ask my angels to help. And when I find myself taking on too much and I'm starting to go down that guilt and shame road, I say, please take this away. This is, it's like, whether it's mine or not, I don't need to hold on to it anymore. It's only messing me up. It's only holding me back. It's only keeping me in the victim role. And that's the one thing in the sweat lodges over 10 years ago that I had asked to release the victim. And they said, well, it's going to take some time. And they were right.
Yeah. Well, that the whole time you're sharing that was, I felt it. It was very powerful. You know, learning, you said, you know, learning to sit with shame and guilt, but then also learning to when to let it go. I found that to be very powerful. Yeah.
It has been. And it's an ongoing thing. I mean, you know, things percolate up. There's still little bits and pieces that come around. And I was just doing some artwork yesterday that was art therapy that was just at the last minute. And I realized how much was just percolating up to the surface. And it's, you know, it's just an opportunity. I'm looking at things rather than looking at like, oh my God, here it is again. It's like, okay, what haven't I learned that I need to learn from this so it doesn't keep happening? So, you know, it's a big, huge blooming onion that you're just peeling parts of it off and getting down to the root and coming to that part where it's like, okay, yeah, there it is. I can actually pluck that out and toss it away now and just ask the angels to take it and get rid of it. It's not doing me any good. It's just holding me back from being my full authentic self and my whole self. And I feel like this is just part of my journey. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
So this is a question that's a little bit off topic, I think. But I usually ask my speakers because I'm such a book nerd and feel like bibliotherapy is also very helpful. Do you have like a favorite book that's related to your work or not that you would recommend to our audience?
I have actually a lot of favorite books. A lot of the Dr. Brian Weiss books, who does past life regression. He's actually a psychiatrist and a specialist in that field. He had a best-selling book back in the day, which was called Many Lives, Many Masters. And that also gets into that woo-woo that people might be wondering about. And here, this was a mainstream guy. He is as analytical as you can get. I've taken a couple of courses from him directly, a five-day workshop that I got certified in hypnotherapy. He goes down that route and shows the value of being able to address this stuff. So much of it, very often, whether it's in this lifetime that we're addressing, also comes from other lifetimes that we are dealing with. So it's a belief system. Some people believe in reincarnation in past lives. Some people don't. I've dealt with both. Some people just stay in this lifetime. They don't go anywhere else. And that's fine. It's all good. But that, I think, is a good introduction to this work, Many Lives, Many Masters. Also, some of the Doreen Virtue books are very helpful for some of the healing with the angels and the Ascended Masters and Archangel book that she has, and another one too. Angel Therapy book is another one. And also Dr. Wayne Dyer, the late Wayne Dyer, any of his books are amazing. Some of the more recent ones really got into, again, he was going down that woo-woo path as well. And also Dr. Carolyn Mace, I think she's a doctor or she's a PhD, I'm pretty sure. She is a medical intuitive. Her very first book, the very first one that I ever read that started changing my entire path was Anatomy of the Spirit. And that particular book just completely changed my life. And it really opened up a lot of doors, and it was a self-healing method and also self-healing of yourself. She even teaches you how to do medical intuitive on yourself. So it's very deep. So her books are extremely deep, but it was incredibly, it was just like starting to set the path for me to go down this path. And that was in like 98 or something that I read that book. And it like literally changed my life. I ended up leaving the work that I was doing as a stockbroker shortly thereafter, about five, right. 6 months. Yeah, it changed my life. So, yep. Yeah, those are just a few.
That was great. Really great. So to start the wrapping up process, I would love to hear two things. One is some final tips for trauma survivors on how they can get on the path of healing. And also, if someone in my audience would love to work with you, what is the best way in reaching you and connecting with you about working with you?
As far as staying on the path, first of all, I just want to congratulate you for even coming to the awareness of this work, because it is truly one of the most difficult paths, I think, that anybody can choose to be on. Anybody that has been sexually abused in any form or fashion, or any kind of abuse, quite frankly, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, sexual, it all falls under the umbrella. And to be able to do the inner work that is necessary to move forward on your path is just, I just applaud you, because I know I'm doing it and it is hard. It is hard work, and it's almost, I would say it's, I hate to say it, but it's like a daily thing. And at least it is for me, and it's part of my path. So yes, I do it all the time, and I'm getting bolted from different angles too, and it can really pull you down. And it's recognizing it and asking for help, whether you ask for help from a physical person or whether you're asking help from God or your spirit guides or your ascended master teachers, your archangels or your angels, your holy guardian angel, whatever works for you, it doesn't matter. You ask for help and you will receive. And so you don't have to beat yourself up with this stuff. And again, I've experienced all of this. I've experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly. So when I've done that and I realize I'm beating myself up, I don't deserve this. What am I doing? And it's just these old familiar patterns of thinking, well, if I have been abused, then obviously I must be like, not worth it. And realizing it's like, that's just bullshit. That's not right. It's all just stuff that you were conditioned to believe by others that felt that way about themselves. And they were just projecting their crap onto you. And that's like realizing it's like, okay, we're getting rid of this crap. It's not mine. I'm going to find out who I am. So that's been my mission. And I hope that for all of whoever sees this podcast. And if you want to contact me, my website is dianehogan.com. It's dianehogan.com. And you can also just click on my contact page on there, or you can email me at shamanspiritmentor@gmail.com. That's shaman is S-H-A-M-A-N. Spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T, mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R, @gmail.com. So that would be the way to contact me. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Yeah.
Diane, we are super lucky to have you on our show today and appreciate all of your wisdom.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for, inviting me. This has been it's been another level, another layer of the onion coming off. So thank you so much for helping and helping all the women and the men that you do. This is very, very important work for us all. So have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.